You're listening to Consider This, episode 125, for November 17th, 2015.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever, wherever, and whoever you are, this is a hastily prepared episode of Consider This. I had been working on other topics for this episode, but I wanted to scrap them and leave them for later when the terrorism in Paris happened. I got a few thoughts on this, and I wanted to get them out in a more timely fashion, so let's get right to this. As we know, in the early morning hours of Saturday, November 14th, ISIS terrorists attacked Paris, France. They did so from seven different locations at the same time, including a theater where a concert was going on, and the soccer stadium where a game was going on, and the French president, François Hollande, was in attendance. When the shooting and bombing was done, 129 people had died. Paris went on lockdown, issuing the first curfew since the 1944 Nazi bombings, and they closed the borders. As I was preparing this episode, they were rounding up suspects and already had bombed ISIS targets in Syria. For starters, I stand with the French people as they stood with us on 9/11. This is a horrible tragedy, and ISIS has specifically targeted civilians, which makes this what I'd call true terrorism, not against military targets, but against non-combatants. It's the lowest of the low. But it does create the intended emotion, terror. ISIS is hoping that this will indeed get France to make more of an effort in the war on terror and thus give them something to show to potential recruits. They want this to be a war, and a war against Islam specifically, because it gives them recruiting power. And with that recruiting, they intend to expand the caliphate. But I want to point out these items. First, yes, it is a war. It's not workplace violence, it's not lone wolves, it's not just disaffected youths. And it's certainly not the JV team. It's an organized war. Perhaps not against a nation, or at least not a recognized nation, even though they call themselves the Islamic State, but it is war, and the sooner we realize that, the better. Second, a lot more people sympathize with them than you think. For example, a poll back in February showed that 27% of British Muslims sympathized with the gunmen in the Charlie Hebdo attacks, over one in four. And while support of ISIS is extremely low in the Middle East, 3-5% in some places and almost non-existent in others, it's still millions of people who have some amount of support for a radical Islamic group bent on terrorism. I am not saying that we should round up all Muslims and stick them in internment camps for the duration, nor do I think that any attacks against Muslim people or their mosques here in the U.S. should be tolerated. Persecution of innocent Muslims encourages others to join ISIS. I'm not even saying that we should reject all those Syrian refugees fleeing the war there. What I am saying is that we need to be protective of our own people, Muslim and non-Muslim alike. Conservatives had predicted that there may be ISIS fighters in those refugees, and at least one of the Paris terrorists was just that. We need to be vigilant and make sure that we don't import terrorism as we care for those who truly need it. As much as possible, we need to make sure that our screening process is thorough enough to weed out those who want to kill us while opening our doors of hospitality to those who don't. Third, and somewhat related to that, the open borders of Europe allowed ISIS to base their fighters in other countries before making the move to Paris. Again, I'm not against legal immigration or accepting refugees, but the whole push for virtually ignoring illegal immigration into the U.S. and the rise of those sanctuary cities that choose not to enforce our laws without suffering any consequences is truly a bad idea. I'm wondering if Europe will now start reconsidering their policies. Certainly, the whole European Union ideal is going to come under further scrutiny after this and the Charlie Hebdo attacks. Fourth, Paris had some strict gun control laws, which were tightened down in 1995 after the bombing of the Paris metro, and in 2012 after a shooting spree in Toulouse. How's that working out? The flow of illegal guns is also helped by the aforementioned open borders. For example, guns used on November 14th were supplied by a guy in Belgium, and the rise in illegal guns has been in the double digits for several years now. How many lives might have been saved if some folks in that theater were armed and didn't just get picked off one by one while the police waited for the SWAT team outside? Fifth, France's multiculturalism and tolerance didn't save Paris from ISIS. A dream of open borders, where everyone lives in harmony because there are no value judgments made, is an interesting dream to have, but the problem is reality and human nature keep intruding on it. President Obama called this an attack on our quote-unquote universal values. Well, it's pretty clear that those values aren't exactly universal. If people come into a country, they need to buy into those values. Multiculturalism says, you don't need to assimilate. Reality says, yeah, you kind of do need to. With two bloodbaths in Paris in the same year, the left will need to take a hard look at its policies and attitudes. It appears to me that the pendulum has swung too far in one direction, but unless the left moderates itself, the far right may just gain enough support to win elections, and in some cases, the xenophobia in that camp can be just as bad. And sixth, well, it's time to pray. Well, yes, it's always time to pray, but especially now, as this world is being forced to redefine itself, and ISIS is waking the left up from its dreams. Pray for the families and the friends of those who were killed or injured. Pray that Paris will have peace and protection once again. Pray that the authorities will be able to find and stop the plots of those who seek to inflict pain and terror. Pray that the response to this is level-headed and compassionate. And pray for the salvation of these terrorists. As you may know, I'm a Christian, and I think that the loving God depicted in the Bible is something these people need to be introduced to. And, as a link in the show notes demonstrates, it's happening a lot more than most folks realize. Thanks for listening. As always, the website is available for your comments. Come on over to considerthis.ctpodcasting.com for links to email, Facebook, Twitter, or you can use that discussion area right there. There's also a transcript of this episode and links to the articles I referred to for this show. And please take some time to consider this.